You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
On this edition of Magic Pod Squad, we catch up with former Magic player and fan favorite Anthony Johnson. He had a terrific NBA career, and of course, his last 2 years were here in Orlando. He's part of that 2009 finals run. We get into all of that with AJ. Magic fans, the Florida Department of Transportation reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Instead, find a sober driver or catch a ride service. Remember, drive sober or get pulled over. Have a great night and drive safe. Lots to cover here with Anthony Johnson, including that 2009 finals run that included beating LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in what ensued after they eliminated the Cavs. Always a favorite story for Magic fans. What he's up to now, a lot of time on the golf course, being a dad, coaching his kids in basketball, and a little bit about his NBA journey and some of the greats that he played with along the way. Terrific stories, including Ron Artest, Dwight Howard, a lot of former teammates. Good stuff with Anthony Johnson on this edition of Magic Pod Squad.
This is Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Jalen Suggs.
This is Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Pod Squad.
And welcome, everyone, to another episode of Magic Pod Squad. Dante Marcatelli, George Galante, Jake Chapman, and this man, simply one of our favorites, one of our all-time favorites, Anthony Johnson. AJ played for the Orlando Magic two stints. You remember the 99-2000 and then 2 years from 2008 to 2010, 13 NBA seasons. And quite frankly, AJ, I would be fine if we just caught up but once a week and just tell stories and reminisce. Yeah. It has been way too long. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, it's always a good time to catch up with my Dante Galante. And now we got Jake in the building. So
yes.
the catch up with my Magic people. So all good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Let everybody know where you're at, what you're up to. Do you play golf twice a day, three times a day? How much golf are you getting?
He's ready to go right now after this, by the way. Like we're keeping him from a tee time.
Oh, you know, no.
We're keeping him from
a tee time. Oh, man. I'm going to be on two wheels to the golf course. We got a 12-15 tee time. Now, you know, I live here in Atlanta, and, you know, just kind of taking it easy, living the dream. Got two kids. My son's a sophomore in high school. I coach his AAU teams in the summertime, so helping, you know, just helping him get where he's trying to go. And I have a daughter that's in seventh grade, so just trying to be the best dad I could possibly be. So, yeah, just living the dream and enjoying fatherhood.
That's great.
AJ, talk about that. I think we talked about that the last time we spoke about coaching your son. How has that been for you? Are you one of these? I mean, you're coaching, so it's a little bit different. So you have to be a little bit of a screamer, I would imagine, because there's two types of parents out there. There's the ones that kind of just sit back, and then there's the ones that are super involved. But you're coaching, so how has that angle been from your perspective, coaching your son, watching him do what you did?
Well, we all know I'm super competitive, so I really enjoy the competition aspect of it, and you know, just being able to be around my son, train him, and you know, coaches teams day in and day out. You know, it's a bond that, you know, father-son bond that I really enjoy. And he knows when we're in practice, I'm the coach, but as soon as practice over, we get in the car, I'm dad. And he knows that I'm hard on him. And, you know, it's one of those things I tell him all the time, you know, with my basketball career, you have all the answers to the test. So there's no way to be making 60s or 70s. We should be making 90s and 100s. So when he's not doing what he's supposed to do, you know, I get on him pretty hard. But, you know, when he's playing well and he's, you know, applying answers that he has, you know, it's good to sit back and be a good father and kind of just, you know, nod my head in approval.
So how is he doing on the test since he has all the notes?
Man, you know, it's a roller coaster, you know, because somebody, you know, now he'll be 16 on Saturday. So, you know, these kids nowadays, they think they know it all. And you have to give them room. You know, this is his journey. I've already had my journey. This is his journey. So I got to give him room to kind of develop, to try things. And, you know, I know what, you know, he needs to grow. And I got to give him room to grow. It's not, you know, what I can't always expect him to get it from my viewpoint and from my eyes. So I have to allow him to kind of, you know, make his own way. And sometimes it's, you know, pulling hair out, which I don't already have any hair. You know, I have to allow him to take the driving wheel, to take the steering wheel, and this is his journey. So some days, you know, better than others, but, you know, he's on the right track.
Yeah, I coach my son in basketball for one season, and we won zero games. So now they're both college players. I only had a partial answer, Keith.
Yes. You got to get those NIL deals going. You got to go find some 6-7-year-olds.
Yes, that's right. You know what? You know what's interesting, George? You say that, and I'm always amazed at how athletes come at it because I coach my daughters. And we have won, George. We have won a couple of games, which is fun. but they get upset. They'll get, and I feel bad. I'm like, you know, if they have a bad game or miss some shots, they get upset. And I'm like, it's all right. You know, get them next game. And then I talk to Q Rich. And you hear from AJ. And AJ, you know, Q will say his son got upset. And he'll write back, say, well, how much did you practice? What'd you put into it? Like, it seems to be a completely different mentality from a professional athlete as how they treat that situation than it is for me where everything's fine.
As opposed to you just said to go play something else?
Yeah.
Just cross. Let's go try and cross. That sounds good.
Right. Is that fair? Is that fair? You kind of, there's a different accountability, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think we all, you know, being a former athlete, you know, our kids are a little bit ahead of the curve and definitely ahead of where we were at that same time. So, you know, a part of it, we want them to have the professional approach and yes. preparation things. And, you know, for us, you know, for me, it was lifting weights during the day, getting in extra shots on a game day, you know, get treatments and all that kind of stuff. When, you know, I'm dealing with a 15-year-old and none of that stuff is really important right now. So, you know,
right.
I have my, you know, getting ready for NBA Finals game approach. And he has, Dad, I'm 15, you know,
yes.
do a whole bunch of other stuff approach. I got to check out YouTube. I got to check out social media. Right. There's a lot. You know, there's things that's more important than, you know, putting my best foot forward. So, you know, as a parent, you have to make the necessary adjustments. But, you know, preparation is one of those things that if you want to be successful, it has to be high on the priority list.
AJ, it's obviously a completely different level, but does it make you relate a little bit to Stan Van Gundy and some of the coaches maybe you had over the course of your career? Do you feel Stan channeling through you at any point, or is that way over here?
I think Stan's approach is a little different to AJ's approach.
Probably a good thing.
Yep.
You know, of course, Stan was a great coach. We had a great system. We had great success. But with Stan, man, nothing was ever perfect. Unless you beat a team by 100 and you made every shot and you shot a high level of threes, yeah, Stan was not going to be happy. And you had to hold the other team to like less than 50 points. But, NBA game, none of those things are really able to be accomplished. So Stan was never happy. But, you know, he's a great guy and a great coach. But, you know, my approach, man, you know, these kids are young. We want to practice hard. I want them to prepare. I want to try to help them get to college. So, you know, it's just as much as possible, just try to put them in a position to be successful and be aggressive. And, you know, just, and like you said, there's going to be some teams that, you know, you just run into a buzzsaw. So,
sure,
you know, you just got to kind of, you know, take it one day at a time and just prepare them as best as possible.
You know, it's interesting. We had Hedo Turkoglu and Rashard Lewis in here on opening night. So that was a lot of fun. And Rashard told a story that Hedo Turkoglu, when the play was drawn up for him, he understood it. If it was a get right, if he's going to get right, no problem. But there was a language barrier when it was get back on defense. Or do you remember it that way? What's your memories of Hedo Turkoglu for 2 years?
I mean, just that combination with Rashard and Big Turk and Dwight, man, to have three guys that can run pick and rolls effectively and finish games at a high level, like Dwight being the interior presence, Big Turk and Rashard being able to score from three, then Big Turk being able to put the ball on the floor at 6'11", and Rashard being able to post at 6'10", 6'11", and take advantage of matchups, man. You know, that was like a teammate in heaven. And we took advantage of it as much as possible. But my Big Turk story, man, I'll never forget. You know, we always get on Big Turk about a whole bunch of stuff, but before a finals game, he's eating pizza before the game. I'm like, Big Turk, you're the only guy here in the NBA Finals that's out of shape. Like, how do you play 120 games and you're playing 35, 40 minutes and you're still out of state? That, like, come on, Big Turk. Come on, Big Turk.
That's awesome.
We had a great time. We had a great time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
AJ, how often are you you didn't just play the two, you know, 3 years in Orlando. You had a 13-year NBA career. I mean, that is a lengthy NBA career. How often are you pulling up highlights to show your kids just to, you know, to kind of put them in check? Like, listen, like, check me out. Like, this was me.
Our coach used to do it at a high level back in the days. These kids, like I said, you know, kids are young. They think they know it all. So you're trying to help them understand the game at a high level. And sometimes they look at me sideways like, I don't know what I'm talking about. So every now and again, you know, I got to put them in the torture chamber playing one-on-one, or I have to send them links and let them know this is Coach AJ back in the day dunking on somebody.
Nice.
Or, you know, having a big night. So every now and again, I do it with kids looking at me sideways. But for the most part, you know, I just kind of talk it up their maturity, and they just think they know it all. And, you know, basketball for them, you know, starts with, you know, LeBron James and, you know, these guys. But, you know, we did play good basketball way back before, you know, these new shooting 40-foot threes, you know, started. So, yeah. So, you know, every now and again I do it, but I just kind of try to laugh it off and, just try to find the nearest golf course.
AJ, I wanted to ask you about that, the state of the game today. You sort of presided over some of that, you know, the younger guys, LeBron. I think you were still in the league when Steph was getting close anyways. How do you like basketball today?
You know, it's tough. I would have to say in my career, I played, you know, when I played with the Pacers, we used to have to battle Detroit, Rasheed Wallace, Chauncey Billups, year in and year out to try to go to the NBA Finals. And if you watch the brawl in the Palace, the score in the fourth quarter was like 66-62 with like 3 minutes left in the game.
Wow.
So, is that why the fight broke out?
You know, with 3 minutes left in the game, and those were dog fights. You know, of course, I didn't play with the Pistons and the Bad Boys, but, you know, we used to take pride in playing defense. We used to take pride in competing. And we used to take pride in stopping our guy, and we used to take pride in team defense. Nowadays, some of that competitiveness, some of that taking pride in getting stops and playing good defense, you really don't see it. So when the games get out of control, it's like, are you even offended that your guy thinks he can score on you if he wants? And for me, I would be offended, and, you know, I would take the personal challenge of, shutting my guy down and stopping my guy. And, of course, you know, now with the NBA, guys shooting across half court, guys shooting a high level or high amount of threes. And, of course, you know, Steph and the Dame Lillards and those guys, they're going to make a good bit of it. But you got to put your best foot forward, and you got to strap it up, and you got to get stops. You got to get stops. And, you know, it's just when I don't see guys taking personal accountability or stopping their guy, that's kind of, you know, you got to – turn the channel quick, fast.
You know what's interesting? You played, so you 18 years with the Magic. I'm sorry, 18 games with the Magic.
It felt like 18 years with
it. Felt like
18. It really felt like it.
Felt like 18 years. But those 18 games at the end of the Heart and Hustle season, right, where you were part of that run, this team was trying to get to the playoffs. You saw Ben Wallace really before anybody else did. What do you? He's now in the Hall of Fame. Is that incredible? What did you see with Ben? And did you have any idea that this guy was about to emerge, right?
Not at all. Not at all. At the time, you know, Ben was, I want to say, undrafted, possibly.
Yeah, undrafted.
A great guy, quiet, never said much of anything. Offensively, it was kind of like, you know, don't really pass him the ball unless he was wide open and no one was around. But one thing you saw his tenacity. You saw when the game started, like he was about his business. And, and he got every rebound. Whatever he got his hands on, he was going to secure it and kind of rebound at a very high level. But to see him evolve into, you know, that hard hustle Ben Wallace into the Detroit Ben Wallace, man, I mean, you know, he worked at it. And you could tell he took great pride into being the best version of himself. And now he has a Hall of Fame jacket. So super proud of him. And I'm proud for and happy for him and his family.
AJ, you've had a lot of teammates over the years. How many of these guys do you still talk to, reach out to? Like you mentioned, Ben and those guys. How many of those guys are you still in touch with?
Yeah, man. You know, for me, I'm kind of like a caveman. So I kind of like just stay here in the house. And if you see me on the golf course, I run into a lot of guys on the golf course. But for the most part, you know, I text with a good amount of guys, but. Yeah, I kind of keep to myself. Right now, just the fact that I am, you know, just taking it easy. I try to give my kids, you know, a lot of time. But I love, you know, shooting texts and catching up with guys and seeing them on the golf course. Or you go to Vegas and there's a big event. I run into a lot of guys at the Big Three and those type of things. So it's always good to catch up. But, like I said, I'm a caveman. So, I'm not hard to find, but at the same time, I kind of keep to myself. But, you know, yeah, there's a lot of guys that are a few guys that I do keep up with.
You played 3 years with Ron Artest and Meta World Peace, right? So there's got to be some good Ron Artest material.
Oh,
you must have seen some unbelievable things in those 3 years.
What's crazy is before I got there, the stories that they were telling me, like the stories that I was told before I got there and to see it in person. I want to say that I got the mild version, but the mild version of Ron Artest was out of control. And Ronnie, man, I when he's in his right mind, man, there's no small forward that could do what he could do. He could lock people up. He could, you know, the top scorers could barely get the double digits. And then he could turn around and beast and eat on offensive end with shooting threes, with posting up and just using his physical strength. At one time, he got up to like 270 and still was moving and shutting guys down. And that's incredible to be 6'7", 270 and stopping the T-Max, giving the Kobe's, you know, a tough time. Like, you know, what he was doing on the floor when he was in his right mind was truly impressive. But off the floor, that boy was, he was out of control. He was out of control, and it just, you know, sometimes you can laugh it off, but we trying to compete and win every championship. A lot of these distractions are not helping us get to our ultimate goal, and that was the disappointing part.
Sure. He was one of the first guys I remember when I hit the league when I was an intern in 06, 07, maybe a year or two afterwards, where I looked at him and I said, he was so built. It must have been the time you're talking about when he got up to 270 and he was still moving. He was built like a meat refrigerator or something like that. I mean, he was so thick and the lateral movement, he was just outstanding.
Jake, so you know, Jake compares everything to food, a meat refrigerator. Yeah, there's a lot of food analogies, but go ahead.
To add to Jake, man, think of Bones Jones, the UFC fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Think of him as a basketball player. That's what Ronnie looked like as a basketball player. Yeah. Like, he was just Bones Jones, you know, but at 6'7", 275.
You put him, AJ, you put him on your list of the greatest defenders of all time?
Oh, yes. Oh, easily. easily because he could guard. Like there are times in practices, Dale Davis would try to post him up, and Dale couldn't really move him. And we all know how big Dale was. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would definitely pin Ronnie as one of the top greatest defenders in NBA of all time.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. Symbiotica.com.
I wanted to ask you, AJ, was there a common thread on all of the great teams you played on? Obviously the Orlando team, maybe those Indiana teams. Is there something that maybe with the benefit of hindsight you say that was something that those teams had in common and maybe you didn't realize at the time?
Well, and real quick, just so everybody knows, because AJ's too modest, you were on a 67-win Dallas team, a 61-win Indiana team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and of course this Magic team that went to the finals. So yeah, to your point, AJ, you were on a lot of teams that had a ton of success.
And the New Jersey Nets, when we went to the finals twice with Jake.
That's right. Finals twice for Jake. Exactly, of course.
And the common thread, of course, you have to have a defensive approach. You know, that was the one thing all those teams, we took pride in stopping other teams. So having a defensive approach and just everybody being tied in as one. When you don't have hidden agendas, when guys kind of have their contracts in place and no one's chasing free agency or chasing money, it kind of brings everyone together and there's no hidden agendas and everybody is playing towards one common goal. And that's normally when you have that defensive approach, a good system in place with good coaches, a good synergy, and everyone's playing towards one common goal, you'll probably have good success in anything that you do.
I brought up on podcast before when we've talked to other guys, and AJ, you may remember this because you were talking about everybody's playing for the common goal. Do you remember the training camp, the end of training camp before we went to the finals? We had a dinner. We had a team dinner that I was lucky enough to be a part of. I've mentioned this before, where Stan went around to every guy in the room at 1 through 15 and just told everybody what their role was. And everybody to a man just kind of looked at him, nodded. And then we went out on the floor and did it. Like, do you remember that? Forever stick with me because I had never seen anything like that before. I'd been to training camps And that one just stuck out to me. And you knew walking out of that door, like, we're going to do something really special this year.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, even early on, you know, I had come from teams that had, you know, final success. The first 2 or 3 days in practice, I let all the guys know in the locker room, hey, man, like, we got a championship team here. Like, there's no weaknesses. If we just kind of pull it together and just have the mental toughness, of course, mental toughness coming into the second round, third round of the playoffs kind of helps you get through. If we can stay healthy, we're going to do it. But with Stan and his staff to give every player a role, to know your role, and the roles that he gave us, of course, it was posted over your locker, so you saw it every day. But every role and each characteristic on that seat defined every player. Like, there was no gray area, first of all, and they were 100% correct on the roles that each player and the characteristics that was on that seat. So it kind of put things in perspective. It let you know what you were there for. It let you know that what's expected of you and your strengths and your weaknesses. So let's continue to get better with your strengths and let's improve our weaknesses and we can have a great year. But that dinner was phenomenal and it was the start of something special. And the year was just, it was a great year. Unfortunately, we didn't cap it off, but you know, it was just one of those things. When you're winning, it's so much better than losing.
Yes. Well, and you and Rafer were such a great combination. We talked to Rafer about a year ago or so, and listen, you're phenomenal in the postseason and helped the team get all the way to the NBA Finals, which this city will never forget. But something that we kind of didn't remember was the Cleveland Cavaliers did this little picture celebration.
Oh, I remember it.
That you remember it. I don't remember seeing that as much, but Rafer reminded us that was kind of motivation for you guys. And then when you guys eliminated Cleveland, man, that must have been an incredible feeling. But kind of tell that story for us, AJ, from your vantage point.
You know, one thing about that team, we went on the road and we smacked everyone. Like, it wasn't just us winning at home, but we felt very good and very confident when we were on the road. And the whole buildup throughout the season was, you know, the Lakers and Cleveland. You know, it was that was kind of like what was supposed to be. And then Cleveland, before the game, they would always do this family photo. And, you know, they were just, you know, they were a first quarter team. Like, they would just blow everyone out in the first quarter. And it was just one of those things, like, you know, they just dancing and, you know, just they're having a great time. Which, when you win it and you feel like you're the top team, there's nothing wrong with that. But it just seemed like they used to go overboard with it. And, you know, when we were playing them in the regular season, it was just one of those things, like, wait till June, because y'all going to be in for a rude awakening.
So it bothered you in the regular season, too, when we saw that. Okay, gotcha.
But there's no need in getting riled up in the regular season. Right. No one's winning any championships in November, December, so it was no big deal. But, you know, it was something we kept our eye on. We talked about it in the locker room. But it was one of those things when it gets, you know, when we get face-to-face come June, you know, the end of May, June, y'all will have a handful. Y'all will have some problems on y'all hands. And exactly, we were a big LeBron James 3-point away from being up and really kind of keeping that series and showing them they weren't on our level. But we knew they weren't on our level, but it was just one of those things that, you know, you just got to play the games out. But it was just fun after we won, you know, just taking a family photo like they did.
Oh, that's so good.
You know, just rubbing it in a subtle way. Rubbing it in.
What did you do?
They were not on our level at that time. Even with LeBron, he was averaging like 40, 45. Yeah. Like he was balling. Like it was unbelievable the things that he was doing. Of course, he was being guarded by Turk. So we got all that.
To make up for that, right? Yes.
We got to give him some little slack there, but. Sure. Yeah, they were not on our level. No team in the NBA was on our level at that time. But, you know, we just didn't get it done in the final 2 weeks.
Sure.
But to remind everybody what you did during our family photo when we won the East, what did you do, AJ?
I mean, you know, I let my little, you know, my point guard, we're a crew. So Rafer and Jameer and T. Lou, they held me up and, you know, like I was a baby. And, yeah, so So yeah, we had a good time with it because that's
great.
They used to hold up more Williams, and they used to, you know. So it was just, you know, kind of one of those things. You just after the fact, I'm not a trash talker, but you know, I wanted them to know that they were not on our level. And yeah, we could do all that stuff too, but we could do it as we're winning and moving on.
That picture goes very under the radar because it just looks like we're having a good time. AJ's moving up. And I knew immediately, I'm like, oh, I know what he's doing.
Oh, that's so
you got to rub it in a little bit. You got to rub it in because that's all you heard about. That's all Cleveland.
Yes.
And, you know, they had nothing for us. Like, they couldn't stop Kirk. They couldn't stop Rashard. They couldn't stop Dwight and everyone else, all the role players we contributed. So they were not on our level, really. And like
that's awesome.
If LeBron doesn't make that three, then they're down 2-0. In their own building, going back to Orlando, and that's easily a sweep.
Which ticks off Turk, because Turk had the game winner before that, LeBron 3. Yeah. That would have been, but he's goes, every time the playoffs come, I got to watch that shot.
Yeah.
And he also, clear.
Who had the game winner in game one? I think he had the game winner in game one, didn't he?
Rashard, I think. Rashard had the game winner.
Yeah, Rashard had the game winner in game one. So, yeah. So, you know, of course it came down to game winning shots, but yeah, sure. we didn't feel like they were on our level.
Real quick before we go, I want to go back to the Stan preseason dinner where he assigned everybody his role. I covered Stan in Detroit. He did the same thing. It did not work. So the personnel,
personnel helps.
Definitely. Let's give Otis and Dick Dorzik in the front office their job.
Definitely. Otis was instrumental, you know, at putting that team together, and and also that assistant general manager,
Dave Dorzik. Yep.
And then the ownership group, like it was, man, from top to bottom, our synergy was unbelievable. I mean, it was just smiling faces. Everybody was upbeat. Everybody was positive. We were winning. We had a great system in place. We had great guys. Like the synergy was unbelievable from top to bottom. It's just unfortunate that we didn't get it done in the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's been a struggle since then for this Magic team. They've gone a couple of different directions, but we're feeling, AJ, there's a buzz in town. We're feeling like we're headed in the right direction, and there's a lot of excitement around it. Do you watch the team still, and what are your thoughts on this up-and-coming Magic team?
Well, I really like the size across the board. Yep. You know, that really, you know, in today's NBA, you know, of course, they talk about positionless guys, and, you know, guys got big guys that can handle the ball, the Wagners and, and Wendell Carter, you know, he grew up here in Atlanta. He has some perimeter skills. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Cole Anthony and, you know, and some of the other guys. So now that, you know, they turned the corner, they had some success at the end of last season. So now you got to carry, you know, that into this season. And, of course, it improved your summer workouts. When you know what it takes to win, now when you're in the summertime, your workouts change and you're able to kind of develop and get into a mode of, okay, now I have some success. Let's carry it forward. So, you know, the team's 2-0. They got a big one tonight against the Lakers. So looking forward to, you know, seeing, you know, that matchup and hopefully they could kind of build on the buzz. You got to bank a lot of games early in the season when you can. And the Lakers, a team that's very gettable, you know, this time of the year. So, you know, hopefully they could put their best foot forward and, you know, have a good showing tonight.
That's great.
On the broadcast, he's all up on the whole
He's got it all down. Come I'm on, telling man. You, I would love to have him come down. Do you have it in your budget, George, to bring him down here for a broadcast and to do our golf tournament? He needs to come to the Magic Golf Tournament.
Let's do it. I'm wide open, so let's do it.
Room in the team plane here. Swing by on the way back. There's got to be room behind him.
Sure.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, there's definitely no room there. That bench is full.
Those
things are full. Hey, I'm watching the Sacramento Laker game last night, and they like the beam. You played in Sacramento. Do you like that? Do you like the beam?
Did I like the beam?
Do you like it? Do you like that they did?
I love it.
Okay.
You know, it's theirs. You know, it's something that's theirs, and no other team have thought of it. You know, so they, of course, with the cowbells back in the days, that used to be unbelievable. But in Sacramento, you know, it's not much going on out there. So for them to have something that's theirs, you know, it's I really love it. I love it. And it gives It gives a sense of togetherness and camaraderie. Yep. And the guys, not to say it makes you play harder, because at the end of the day, anytime someone's keeping score, you should kind of give your best effort. But to have that extra motivation to hit the button and light the beam, I love it.
I love it. Well, we love talking to you, AJ. Great stuff. Hit them straight today, and we look forward to seeing you here soon, all right?
What are we going for, 75, 76? What are we
We're going to go 81 to 84. We'll go 81.
How?
We'll go 81 to 84. So
you're better than me.
Can we put them in our group, George, for the tournament so we have a chance in this thing?
Let's do it.
All right, guys. Good stuff. That'll do it for this edition of Magic Pod Squad with Anthony Johnson. We'll see you next time.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.